Holy is he. If you're one of those that's been around in the Spirit a while and you know how to pull in the Spirit, there's much to be received today. There's much to be received. God came to us in a spirit of holiness this morning. And it was a different kind of thing. And God is doing something that is bigger than we are. And you know, Jesus used to say, those who have ears to hear, let them hear. In the Spirit, if you have ears to hear or a heart to pull, because we're on the mountain of God and He has some things for us. Some of them are beyond your knowledge. You with head knowledge, set your mind aside for just this moment, just these hours. Because sometimes God will impart something to you and you spend years unpacking it and understanding it. You spend sometimes months, weeks, days, but sometimes years later you say, oh, that's what you put in me. As we have stood on the mountain, God handed me what looked like a scroll. And then it seemed to go in me, and then it seemed to become like a garment. And I know that sounds strange, but God is doing something that's beyond us. Father God, we thank you that even now, even this moment, you are releasing a spirit of holiness, the very spirit of heaven, into this room. We banish all that is not of you. We humble ourselves before you, make ourselves low before you, that we might receive all that you have. If we have anything that's in the way, we banish it, we shove it aside. If we have anything that has come before you, we reject it. God is breathing into us right now. Hold your people, your holy ones, your children, that you've called upon, you've called them unto yourself, you've sanctified them. You've filled them with your own spirit and sealed them, and they are holy. And now, Father, I see your hand, as though your hand is coming upon us, each of us. I see your hand touching and releasing just some of the stuff that needs to just go. And I see people making decisions saying, yeah, you're right, I need to let go of that. I need to stop carrying that. I need to stop running that. I need to put that relationship on the altar. God is healing. I saw two marriages today being healed. And what I saw is they were coming into a right order, a really great order by God, where kindness became the order of the day. And working together became more important than getting our way. And I see these marriages being radically transformed from being kind of a pain to being so joyful and so fun. And I see God transforming people. I saw someone that has anger in their heart, and you feel justified in your anger. And I saw the Lord put his hand over your heart, and it just melted away. Because in him, you know, we don't really need to have our rights. Because he's already dealt with everything. And I saw his hand coming upon certain people in here. And I want you to do whatever you feel like you need to do, and don't feel odd if you need to lay on your face, if you want to go off to the side. We are very free here. And what we want is for you to go wherever you want to in this room if you need to. I saw earlier today, I saw a spirit of repentance, and you know, it's not even that some of the sin is so terribly terrible, but it is a weight that besets you, and it is a weight that holds us back from receiving the fullness. God desires for us to receive the great fullness, that we would grow up in all things into Him, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Him, that we would grow up in all things into Him and align ourselves, make ourselves one with Him, come into oneness with the Word of God, oneness with the Spirit of God, walking in Him. And it's a journey. You know, we start in one way and we end up another, but it's a journey, and it should be the whole life journey that we have. And I see someone that you've held on so tight to the things in your life, and your family, I love you, but I'm just saying this from the Lord, your family has been an idol to you. And you've carried it, and you've cried and screamed and begged and yelled, and you've tried to get help, and you've thought if enough people get in there and help, then that'll turn around. But the Lord is saying, you have not done the one thing that I've asked you to do. You have not given them to me. Give them to me. And when you do, you will see some changes. Until you do, you have claimed ownership of it, and I can't touch it. So I tried to say that as lovingly as I could. But we need to repent of trying to run things. I'm going to have us repeat this proclamation to open ourselves up. I'm going to have you say, Father, in the name of Jesus. Jesus died and was raised from the dead to release unto me everything I will ever need. Every promise of heaven, every restoration, every healing, every restructuring. Help me to align myself with heaven. And if I have anything in my life that I've tried to own or run, I'm sorry. I give it to you. I give you my family. I give you my life's calling. I give you all my dreams. I give you my work. I give you my pride. And anything that I have found value in this earth, I give it to you. And I ask you, in exchange for all that heaven allows, everything, every healing, every anointing, all the fullness, the glory of God, and that I might live for you and in you, in Jesus' name. So what we've just done, if you meant that, is we've given him legal access to the whole of our life, to fill it with every good thing. And we don't have to worry and fret about any of those old doubts and fears, because what he has done for us freely because he loved us. Thank you. see, I have called you with a holy calling. But today is about acknowledging heaven. Seeing heaven. Today, he said, before you came in the room, I tore the ceiling off in the spirit. And in some hearts, I'm removing a veil, not the one that was in front of the Holy of Holies, but a veil that's been on your heart from thoughts, wrong thinking, wrong commitments, wrong control. Today I'm removing that if you will allow me. I will never force you, but I will ask you, are you wholly mine? Are you wholly mine? There's nothing I will not do for one who is holy. You know that the word says his eyes are continually roving throughout the earth looking for somebody whose heart is wholly his, so that he can show himself strong. I see a piercing light shaft from heaven going through someone. Some of you are more greatly called than you know. Some of you are less called than you think. Hallelujah. Some of you want to be a hotshot. And God does have great things for you, but we need to learn. We need to learn what John the Baptist did. The Baptist learned. Jesus said he was the greatest of men born of women. And I believe that the thing that made him the greatest was he said, you must increase. I must increase. He must become paramount. I must become him. What if we could get that heart? Some of you have lived with it for so long that it's become normal. I see releasing scar tissue on the heart. Thank you. see scar tissue melting away. I see bitterness of soul. This person I'm talking to, you lived for so long under a pretty tough, I really want to call it abuse. There were terrible things said to you that no human should be able to say to another human. And because of it, I want to be careful how I say this. You didn't get into bitterness, the type that is of unforgiveness. You were careful not to do that. But there's a bitterness of soul from so much wounding. It's almost like sometimes there's like self-abuse. Because after you were away from the verbal abuse, you took on the role of the abuser and you began to abuse yourself. Say terrible things about yourself and to yourself. And I see the Lord lifting that whole cycle of abuse, just lifting it right out of your soul. And He's saying, no more ever again. You're leaving that on this world. You're never taking it up again, never. Someone here, I think more than one, you were utterly rejected by your family. Jesus said, do you know that I understand what that feels like? My family came to the door to get me, to collect me, because they thought I was beside myself. They said, oh, he's gone too far. And I said, who is my family? This is my family. Those who hear the word of God, that's my family. Places of great darkness. Because your family rejected you, but the Lord said, you are my family, my very own. He said, by the way, I'm proud of you. You're mine. And how I love you. You've stood your ground and you're still here serving. And it's just so so not from the Lord. I see him right now taking off cloaks of shame. I don't fully understand the things I see, but you probably do. I saw like this big black box. Just full of shame and shameful things from the past. And the Lord said, I'm taking that box and I'm breaking it open. And I'm removing it from your life forever. It has to do with someone's past. And even though they've walked in God and done well, there was always this black box in the corner full of their past that they never could really shake. And God says, I'm taking it. I'm taking that whole thing. And you're never going to be able to look at it again. You're never going to see it again. It's never going to taunt you again. I'm taking your shame away. I'm putting it on the cross where it belongs, underneath the blood. Says, you are mine. There's someone in here you've never really felt like you thought that about you. You'd look at others and say, he loves them, I can see that. But I don't really feel like he's saying that he feels that way about me. And I saw Jesus standing right in front of you and saying with this big smile, mine. And he said, I'm pleased. And I love you so, 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 so much. And I'm redeeming your life. I'm redeeming you from rags, the rags that your life will become. Did you ever see a box of old oil rags? They're kind of dirty and they smell like oil and gas. And they can never really be gotten clean, right? Because they're just so... They can never really be gotten clean. And I saw Jesus take that box of old rags and oil and gas and a smell, and smiling, he took it out. He said, never to be seen again. And taking away all the rags of your past, former deeds that even though you know about forgiveness, that you've had a hard time because of one or two things that happened long ago. And he says, when I cleanse utterly. Are mine. I have bought you with a price, and I have redeemed you, and I am redeeming you. I am redeeming your life and all those things that you thought were hopeless. I see someone getting free from a spirit of anger. It's not just anger, it's like an actual spirit of anger that comes upon you at times. God is delivering. God is releasing. Because it hurts people, but most of all, it hurts you. And I feel like some of that anger was generational, and some of it was how you grew up, but no matter. When Jesus sets us free, we're free forever. You know, there's some things you can get set free from that you will never, no again. I mean, not even once. God has the power to set free. I saw people in here with some, like, habits, maybe addictions, and you don't really want them. And you've cried out to God, and you've felt terrible because you don't want those habits, you know, because you love Him. And I see some kind of hook. You know, sometimes habits hang on to a little hook in our soul. Years ago, I had a long-term habit. It was 8 years. I did everything I knew to get free, and I wanted free, and I loved God with everything in me, but I wasn't set free for 8 years. This stupid thing would come and go, come and go. I have to say this for a reason. One day after 8 years of this praying and fasting and doing everything I needed to do, I went into the kitchen and I sat down and I said, God, what is wrong with me? Why am I like this? I've been free from so many other things. Why do I still have this? And He said this. He said, you're looking for your Father in every man you meet. And some of you didn't have the love of your dad. Or maybe didn't know your dad. And it left a deficit. I had a dad, and he was actually a pretty good guy. But he was unable to express. I think that was the generation where you just didn't show a lot of emotion. And you know, every little girl, and I think every little boy, wants their dad's approval. So I'm actually talking to both men and women. Sometimes habits and addiction come from we're searching for something, approval. And it's not just the approval of man, but it's the approval of our dad. You know why? Because we were made to really want the approval of our Father in heaven. And when God said it, I realized it was totally true. I loved my dad, and he was long gone. You know, he'd packed up and left, you know, our family long ago. And I realized that I was searching for my dad's approval, and it had caused some terrible patterns that wouldn't go away. And sometimes we have to unhook the hook to unhook the stronghold. I said we have to unhook the hook to unhook the stronghold. And so I said these words. I said, Father, I'm sorry. I realize now that I was looking for an earthly man's approval when in fact I have your approval already. I repent in the name of Jesus. I'm going to stop playing for a minute because I don't want to mess this up. When I repented of wanting the approval of my Father, because I saw it as sin, in that moment I saw here I was looking for a man's approval when I have, because of Jesus only because of Jesus, my Father in heaven has approved me and has approved you. So what we're doing is sinning against God, saying that's not enough, I want man's approval. It's sin, isn't it? And sin makes a hook in the soul. even nice looking sins. The man pleasing spirit is a nice looking sin, but it's still a hook in the soul. And it's so easy to get free. All we have to do is say, I am so sorry. Sometimes we don't realize that we're in sin. We think we're doing good because we don't smoke and cuss and chew anymore. And so I'm just going to have us say, Father, if I have looked for the approval of man, any human, I'm sorry. Jesus purchased for me your full approval. And that is more than enough for me. I'm sorry. From this day, I'm going to bask in my Father's love. So I receive your love, Father. And now I speak in the name of Jesus, every habit, every wrong relationship, just drop off. The end of that story is when I said that simple prayer, that thing left and it never came back. Sometimes we wonder, well, why am I sick? Or why is it taking a while? And sometimes, not all the time, okay? This is not a law. But sometimes things have hung on us because we have something in us that we don't know is in there. Something that is an offense. And if we can ask the Lord to help us see it and simply say a prayer of repentance like that, that we mean the hook is gone. Now I want to describe to you what God showed me about a soul hook. If you've ever been in a barn or a shed, you might have seen a circle, a metal hook that's a circle. It's not just a hook, it's got a perfect circle on it. But it also has an extension that's a screw, a couple inches long. And sometimes they'll take that thing and they'll screw it into the wall, into imagine a 4x4 inch post, a pillar that's just solid, right? It's holding the barn up. And the farmer screws in this screw. And then he goes and gets a 2,000-pound bull with a halter and a snap, and he snaps that bull on that hook. That's a strong hold. That bull can't leave. He won't leave. Then let's say he goes and gets a big old fish net full of garbage, and he hangs it on the hook. Then imagine he goes and gets a goat or a pig, and he hooks it onto the hook. And people come to church and say, I want deliverance, and somebody else might cast it out, and that's good. That's a good thing. But what I discovered is that there's a real easy way of getting free, is if we can see the hook and say, wait a minute. See, that hook is a soul hook. It might be a lie we have believed. Today, God is going to undo some of those. Sometimes we have a thing we call an inner vow we don't even know we have. I remember the day I was in my 30s and I became very, very ill. Had my hand on the telephone to call 911 because I was so deathly ill, and the Lord said, don't call them. And it was pretty bad and very scary. And I had a friend that worked in the Word of Knowledge very accurately, and he said, I think you're supposed to call this lady named Grace. And Grace was the lady that operated in emotional healing. And that was kind of odd, and I actually thought Grace was a little odd. But we called her, my friend and I, we called her, and she said, honey, she said these words, and I'm saying this to someone in there. She said, honey, you're not sick. What you have is unresolved conflict, and it's making you sick. Now, this is not every sickness, okay? There's no law. There's no rule. But for someone in here, you've had unresolved conflict for years, and it has made you sick. And so to cry out for the physical healing isn't always successful. Sometimes we need to deal with the soul hook. And so I went to visit Grace, and Grace was different. Totally of the Holy Ghost. She said a really weird prayer. She said, Lord, take Holly back through her life. And she said, with one of those, you know, you ever meet people who kind of float around and you just think, okay, odd. She's a floater. And she goes, take her back through her life and be there at those times where you need her. Now, my carnal flesh is thinking, it was 40 years ago, you know, 30 years ago. You know, be there at those. Instantly, the second she says amen, I have about 10 flashcards go foo, 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 foo. Like in 2 seconds, I knew exactly what my problem was. And my problem was that I had made an inner vow. Now, here's how foolish we can be. God began to tell me, Holly, when you were 5 years old, you made an inner vow. I didn't even know what an inner vow was, so I'm thinking, what are you talking about? No idea. And what it was I was about 5. And my father didn't like, he was uncomfortable with people crying, you know. And I was crying because someone had hurt my feelings. And my dad, in his booming voice, yelled at me and said, why do you have to be so sensitive all the time? And what's the message to me as a 5-year-old kid? Oh, that's not okay. Dad doesn't like that. Okay. And inside myself, without speaking it out, I must have said something like, I'll never let him see me cry. Because Dad doesn't like that. Dad's a tough guy. He's a cowboy. He's a businessman. I'm going to be like Dad. And inside myself, I made a little vow. Very little, 5 years old. But as I was growing up, what happened was I began to hide all emotion. Because we didn't do that. There are people in here, I'm going to say you're stuffers. And you've been stuffing emotions for years. And I will tell you, I had so much stuff stuffed, I didn't know how to process emotions in a healthy way. Emotions are not bad. They're a gift from God. But there's a healthy way to have them and an unhealthy way to have them. And I had made a vow, I'll never let anyone see me cry. And so it didn't matter what I was going through. If you ask me how I was doing, great, I'm doing great. I went through what felt like hell itself. And everybody at work, how are you doing? I'm doing great. You know, I would lead meetings, do all the stuff. Nobody ever knew. Nobody knew. But inside, those stuffed emotions were making me sick because they were toxic. And you can only do that for so many years before your body starts to send signals. Okay? Do you ever know somebody that went to the hospital for what they thought was a heart attack, but in fact, the physicians called it stress? That's really what this is, because we haven't learned how to process it. And after, so I repented. This, when you see a soul hook, whether it's an inner vow or a lie you have believed, when you see that, somewhere in there, there's a hidden sin. Now, it sounds funny, because it might not be what we think is sin. So I repented, and I said, Father, you know, I believed that emotions were bad, but I believe they're a gift from you. I'm sorry that I hid all this inside. I apologize. Would you teach me how to process emotion in a healthy way? Well, he took 6 months of my life and taught me how to do it. God wants to release some of the things that some of you have held in. Some of you have secrets you've never told anybody, and for good reason. Because you knew that if you told, some people would hurt you, and you would be hurt even more. And I get that. I do. But one thing I know about God is he is the perfect counselor. He is the perfect counselor. He never gets mad. He doesn't condemn. He doesn't, you know, he wants us to pour it out. And God had to teach me how to do it. He made me. God, I remember after I got a little bit free, I was sitting at work and all of a sudden I had this feeling and I was like, what is this? And I realized, wait a minute, this is anger. This is what anger feels like. I had not allowed myself to have anger since I was 5. We didn't allow that. And when I started to feel, I was like, this is what anger feels like. I'm mad. I'm really mad. By the way, it feels good. And God had to teach me how to have emotions in a holy way and process them. Emotions are real. They're real things. We can't pretend they don't exist. They do. And some of you have so, there's a person in here, you've so disconnected yourself from yourself that sometimes things happen and you can't understand why and you're trying to do Christianity with your head and it doesn't work. And I love you and God loves you, but he's saying you need to start looking at your soul a little bit and dealing with some of these soul hooks, okay? He's not condemning us, but he wants us free. Because in freedom, there's great blessing of every kind. It's a blast to be free. So I'm laying in bed one night, and I was thinking, you know, my back was a little sore, and I remembered a time when my grandma used to rub my back, and I loved my grandma. My grandma was awesome. And I remember that she had died 6 months prior to this, and I went to her funeral, and I had no reaction whatsoever. I loved my grandma, but I'm like, hallelujah, she was saved, she's with Jesus, yay. No emotions at all, none. Didn't feel a thing. 6 months later, here I am now getting free. And I start to weep for my grandma. Oh, my grandma was so great, boo-hoo-hoo. And I start to have the emotions I probably should have had 6 months before at her funeral. But I had learned how to so block emotions because I had a belief system that was taught me at the age of 5 that emotions are not cool. We don't do that. That's not okay. We're tough. How are you? Fine. I have a mask. So I'm laying in bed crying over my grandma, and the Lord says, go get some notebook paper. Now, this is going to be odd, but I have to obey God, okay? He said, go get some notebook paper, okay? He said, I want you to think back through your life, and I don't care if it takes you days to do it. He said, I want you to think about every person that ever hurt you, shamed you, embarrassed you, or was mean, just write their name down. And so I spent a while, and I thought of, you know, Billy Ellison making fun of me when I was in kindergarten. You know, little stuff. And things I'd long since forgiven and all that. He wasn't trying to get me to forgive, he was trying to get me to deal with the stuff, the stuffed stuff. So after I get this long list of people, he says, now I want you to sit with me. Now some people are going to go, that's not scriptural. Well, I'm just going to tell you how I got healed. He said, I want you, just you and me, he said, I want you to vent. I want you to say exactly what you feel. And he said, and this is going to be odd. And I was like, but Lord, how I feel isn't very nice. He said, it's already on the inside. I'm just trying to get it on the outside. Because I don't want you carrying it because it's toxic. So he had me, like, with him as my counselor, say just exactly how I felt about the situation. Now, that doesn't seem very nice, does it? But what began to happen is all this trash was released. And here's what I found. Underneath it was a deep and profound love and forgiveness for every person on that list. Did you ever forgive somebody and it doesn't seem like they stay forgiven? Well, what I found was when I got it out, at the bottom there was love and forgiveness that stayed forever because I was no longer carrying some emotional hoo-ha about it. God is trying to free some people that you've been taught that you have to be tough. And I think it's not a nice thing that our society does to people, that we're supposed to be tough, you know, and carry it and always be the manly man, you know. We love manly men, by the way, but Jesus cried. And he was the manliest man that ever was. But he wept with compassion. He wept in travail. He wept in intercession. He was a man of the Spirit. God invented crying. It's not a sin to cry. I don't know why we're here, but we're here. God is trying to release some of you. There have been some of you that you've been afraid to go to somebody for help because you tried once and got clobbered, and that was just as bad a hurt as the initial hurt. God is saying to you, I'm not asking you to go to man, but I am asking you to come to me. I'm not asking you to go to man, but I am asking you to come to me and help me, let me help you work it out of you. Let me help you release some of that stuff. There's someone in here, and I believe I'm actually talking to many people, that, you know, some of us were blessed when we were young and we were told by our parents that we were smart or had abilities. But some of us were made to feel, either by parents or teachers or friends, that we didn't measure up in some way. Maybe we felt slow, or maybe we felt like all the other kids are good and you're the bum. Or maybe we were always the kid on the outside, you know. And because of it, when we entered Christianity, we carried that soul hook of not good enough or not worthy or not smart or I'm never going to be able. There's a million of those, okay, a million types of them. And as I'm talking, God is, in some people, there's a little bump, bump. I have a dear friend that was told that she was slow. Never was great at school, never liked school all that much. And as I got to know her, I said, I think you've believed a lie. You're one of the smartest people I know. And she did what you're supposed to do. A lot of people won't. They just tilt their head and walk away and they don't deal with it. Go to God. She went to God and said, God, is there any truth in that? And God began to reveal. She had a very, very good mind and had believed a lie. You will never rise above the lies you believe. If you think you can't, you can't. If you think you can't, you never will. I'm going to tell you something. Some of us want to be used and healing and faith and all that stuff. That's great. But this is what I know. It's not enough to have faith that God will heal. We have to come to a place where we know God will heal through me. We have to come to a place where we can believe that we're not outside the covenant because of this, that, or the other, our inability, our lame brain, or whatever we were told. There's people in here, there's one person in here, you were brutalized by your dad. Your dad was, I'm just going to say it, your dad was mean to you. And he raised you to, he was always measuring you with an impossible yardstick. It was impossible to measure up. And when you transferred into the kingdom of God, that yardstick has tried to follow you everywhere you go. I see you going along, really love you, really love God. God really loves you. And there's nothing hindering you but that yardstick. It follows you around, measuring your every little thing. And I saw God bring his hand down and say, I am not pleased with that yardstick. That is not my yardstick. And that is not how I see you. That's not how I look at you. And it is certainly not how I think about you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You're made in the very image of God. And just because someone on earth disrespected you, I want you to know I do not disrespect you, and I do not like it when you disrespect yourself, make fun of yourself. That's not what I like. I like when you say, you know what, I get it, I have my faults, but God made me, and God loves me, and he'll use me as much as he'll use anybody else. We need to shake off that junk. It is not humility to think poorly of what God has done in you. That's not humility. It is not. It's a fake type of humility. It's a counterfeit where you belittle yourself. It's not of God. God doesn't make junk. God does not make junk. Now, I will tell you that sometimes he'll make a wonderful and holy person, but because of all the ravages of life, they get beat up and torn up and left for dead, and then they're left to try to put together the pieces the best they know. Sometimes we find people that when they were little children, there were such terrible things that went on, they had to make up a world to live in. And they develop another personality. And it's not just a demon to be cast out. It's a safe place that they live. Actually knew such a person. She was raised up in the home of Satanists. taken to all the meetings as a toddler. And I prayed with her by the Holy Spirit, and I said, what is the knife about? And she said, when I was a little girl, very little, my hand held the handle of the knife while a bigger hand held my hand and completed a human sacrifice. Think how distorted her poor little mind and her poor little heart. Think at the age of 3 or 4. How would you deal with that? And her way of dealing with it is actually quite normal. Most little kids would do the same. When you were a little kid, did you ever fantasize that you were the hero or you were the Superman or you were the one that came to save the day? You know why? Because we need to believe that what God has made is good. And if everything around us tells us we're no good, little children will build a fantasy world and live in it and make up these big whoppers. And in her case, she made up a number of personalities that was safe to be. She'd make up this name because this person's bold and confident and fearless, and this person can go hide away. And she made up these personalities, but they were real to her. She believed them. And it became many personalities. And as I was ministering to her, I began to realize some of us are fragmented. And we haven't understood that if you could picture a mirror, and then someone takes, like one of those full-length mirrors, and somebody takes a rock and hits the mirror, there's a big ding in the middle, and these pieces that are fragmented. Maybe the mirror pieces are all still attached to the wall, but it's very disjointed and fragmented. And whether we know it or not, you know what, then when it says he came to heal the brokenhearted, part of that brokenness relates to the word shattered. And I'm talking to someone in here, your life was shattered and you've had a hard time even getting help for years and years because it was hard to find anybody that even understood. And really, I don't know if anyone does. A very wise minister said something to me once. I was hurting so bad. And he said, don't expect anyone to understand your pain because it's your pain. And we want people to understand how hard our life is. Sometimes we want pity and sympathy and all that. But there's only one who understands. You know what the Bible says about Jesus? He was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. He knew what it was to be utterly rejected, not just by strangers, but by his closest friends. He knew it. And he did that so he could experience all the stuff we have to. So when you bring your problem to Jesus, you're talking to somebody who knows what it is to be wounded in the deepest way, hurt, tortured, brutally, and yet without sin. So he knows how to do this. Amazingly, he knows how to do it. Jesus is, and this is actually interesting, remember the old poem that Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty together again. But I saw Jesus come up, and I saw him just put his hand out, and I saw that fragmented mirror go into one perfect, clear, clean glass, and in its reflection, I saw Jesus. He's talking about some of your hearts. Some of you have been through so much. And many of you I don't know, but there's a few of you, and I know your stories, and I know it would be too much for any of us to have lived through what you lived through. But with his great love and his mighty hand of power, I saw him make your heart whole again. There's a wonderful scripture that God gave me some years ago. It says, unite my heart to fear the Lord. And if you feel like there's any brokenness in you, just say, Lord, unite my heart to fear the Lord. Because the Word of God has all power. And I remember when I discovered that and I prayed it, it felt like some of my broken pieces just came together like I was whole again. It's easy for God to make us whole again. I saw a person in here, you've carried a heavy burden on your shoulders. It's very, very heavy. It looked like football pads, but it weighed a ton. I mean, it was a lot. And it's the burden, it has to do with some of the things going on in your family. There's things going on in your family that are very, very burdensome and heavy. And Jesus held out his hands, palm up, and said, would you give me that burden? Would you release that to me? You're never going to fix it on your own. You're never going to fix it on your own, but I can fix it. And I saw him saying, will you give me that burden? Will you give me your children? You know, Lori gave us a good spanking yesterday about carrying our kids till they're 35 and 40 and they got big poopy diapers and we're carrying them. And do you know that that is not the way the Lord would have it? Now, you love your kids and God loves your kids more than you do. But I feel like some of us need to once and for all give the Lord our kids. Give our family to God. And entrust. It's not that you're just giving them up, you're entrusting them. Imagine if you had something really valuable. I mean, really, really valuable. Maybe a whole bunch of stuff. Maybe you had some bonds and some jewelry and money and a lot real valuable. And you decided, I don't think I want this in my house. I'm going to take it to the bank. And I'm going to ask for a safety deposit box. You're not really totally releasing the ownership, but you are entrusting the keeping of it to the bank because they're secure. They have a safety deposit box, and you have to go through all kinds of rigmarole to even get down to those boxes. They're usually in the basement. And this is what I saw. I saw the Lord saying, will you give me your child in that way? I'm not taking them. I'm not going to ruin them. But will you entrust them to me? Because my keeping power is much better than yours is. And my love for them. Some of you think, I love my kids so much and I know what's best for them. I'm just talking to one person, okay? So the rest of you just can hold on for a minute. And you have been kind of pushy and demanding and angry that your child has gone way far away. And the Lord says to you, you do love them, but your love is distorted. You do love them, but your love for them has too much self in it. He said, my love for them is very pure, and I will always do what is best for them, but I need you to entrust them to me. That was a little bit of a toughie, but it had to be done. There's someone in here right now. I saw your eye pop open in the spirit and I saw you get an open vision. And you're seeing your future play out. There are people in here that God is releasing. You're walking out. I see you in the spirit and you're walking out of everything you have known. You're walking into the glory and the presence of God. And some of you, for the first time in your life, you're stepping up in the spirit and just stepping out. And it's like you became much bigger in the spirit, much bigger. I saw some of you just leaving stuff behind that's been, seemed like such a big deal, seemed so important, and you just said, you know what, that's not what's important. I'm going to follow God, and I'm going to trust him to deal with that. And I'm seeing people stand up in the spirit, just in the spirit, and say, I'm walking away from this. God, I'm giving it to you. I'm going to go on. I'm going to serve you with all my heart. I'm giving you everything I got, and I'm going to trust you with that, 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 and that. And I know that you will always do what's right. I see more and more people. And it's like a form of deep dedication. You know, years ago, I asked the Lord, what do you really want me to do? And he said, I want you to raise up 1 million people like disciples, you know. And I thought he meant, you know, I didn't really know what he meant. I thought he meant that he wanted me to raise up people that could hear the voice of the Lord and be prophetic and do the stuff. I thought that's what he meant, but that's not what he meant. About 6 months ago, the Lord began to show me. He said, no, what I mean is I want 1 million people that are dedicated wholly unto me. Wholly dedicated. That will not allow anything in their life to come before me. That will have no idols. A people of power and grace. A people who are used greatly of God, but who have separated themselves from all those ties that bind separated themselves from soul ties and earthly desires and earthly value systems, who have dedicated themselves wholly to me. And so I began to shift a little and say, I get what you're saying, I get it. But I didn't fully get it, I think, until this morning. Lori went for a walk and I was sitting praying for this afternoon, because I knew, like I said, I knew for months that this afternoon was very important. And I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know how. I know how to do immersion, but I didn't know how to have a receiving meeting, because a receiving meeting is you receive all that heaven affords. You receive everything that you need. You receive every healing you need, every impartation, every word of knowledge, every word of wisdom, not from me, but from Him. Sometimes we just want to know, what is the problem and what do I do to fix the problem? What is the truth that I'm missing? What is the lie I have believed? What is the problem? And all of that is to be revealed, right? By the Spirit. Not by me, but by the Spirit. And so I wasn't sure. I was praying about this meeting today, and Lori went for this walk, and she came in and she said, I saw what looked like a tornado, and she evidently had forgotten the tornado that I had seen. Remember I told you yesterday, I saw this tornado that was just beautiful. It was white and gold, and it was moving over the people. But the tail, you know how as a tornado moves one way, the tail just kind of buzzes around and just goes where it will. And the body of the tornado moves differently, and that's what I saw. Well, I think I made a mistake. I thought it was just healing. I thought it was like a healing thing. Lori forgot that I had seen that, and she said, I saw this tornado. And she said, it was a tornado of His holiness. And when she said it, it went through me like I felt like a lightning rod. Like it went through me like a pillar of lightning went through me. And I knew what God was saying. He loves us, and His grace is very great, and His mercy is very wonderful, but that He is visiting us in His holiness. And I wept, and I wept, and Lori wept, and she wept. And I realized, I want that more than I want anything else on earth, is that God's people could be visited by the true Spirit of holiness, not that fake stuff, not the fake outward pretense, not that. Not a holiness of how you dress or how you behave outwardly. That's not holiness. That's a facade. It's a counterfeit. But there is a real work of God. Stephanie shared a story the other day, and I've actually heard other people talk about very similar things. And in her story, she said Mike Bickle was taken into the heavenlies, and he was undone because he said, I'm not holy enough to be here. I'm not holy enough to be here. Who else said that? Isaiah. Woe is me, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. Immediately aware of his own humanity and impurity before God. Now, God has made us holy in our inner man. But a true spirit of holiness, and listen to me, I am a grace preacher. I love grace. I needed grace to get this far in life because I was such a mess. And I love the message of grace. So this is not that. This is God's true holiness, where he comes in and we begin to consider that maybe we need to deal with some little things. You know what we do? Sometimes if something's little, you know, if you're an older Christian, you've probably been delivered of all the big, you know, the big ones. You know, you may have been delivered from lust and fornication and all the big stuff. And so you say, well, that now I'm holy. But we have, now our inner man is holy. Your born again spirit is absolutely holy, true. But in our flesh, we carry still a sin nature. Paul talked about it in Romans 7. He said, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body, this flesh? That's, you know, the thing I want to do, I don't do. The thing I don't want to do, that I do. And what I'm telling you is today God is visiting us to help us. God wants you to receive all of heaven, all of it. I was jealous of Mike Bickle. I want to be fried in the presence. I love the presence, but I don't just want the hoo-ha, yippee-yay, I'm laughing. I love that. Don't get me wrong. I can get Holy Ghost drunk with the best of them. I love that. But what I desire even more is to come into his presence and be undone. Undone. He's been so gracious to let humans walk in his presence and even carry it. And that's our message. We preach that all the time. But today, I felt as though I was asking the Father to stand up. The Father doesn't stand up often. But I felt as though in the Spirit I was saying, Father, would you stand up? And would you come? And would you release to us that holiness, that godly sorrow that brings true repentance, to say, I don't want to live for myself anymore. I don't want to be just another carnal Christian that's grasping on God for all the goodies because I know he's good. Don't get me wrong, I'm a faith person and we are blessed of the Lord and I love being blessed of the Lord. And I love, but I'm going to tell you something. I said it yesterday, when you give him everything, you have access to everything. And if you won't give him your stuff, you won't give him legal ownership, you're going to have a hard time in this life. You're going to have a hard time walking in the greatness of God that you were called to walk in. God is looking for a people who will step up and walk out of it. Say, I'm not doing this anymore. My life is wholly his, every area, every area, every area. And I know, because I got saved at 15, and I gave him one area at a time, one and then another and then another, and I had this one area and I held it back. Dumb. That area almost killed me because it was such a disaster. At the age of 26, having been, I met him and I knew him for 11 years, not well, but I knew Jesus was real. I had an electrifying experience at 15. He electrified my body with electric joy from head to toe for 20 minutes. I'm on the floor. Nobody in my house is saved. I've accepted Christ because I read something by C.S. Lewis. Undone completely. One thing I knew is Jesus Christ is real. And he's all powerful and he's filled me with this electric joy. And so for 11 years, you know, I give him pieces, but not all. Some of you are in here and you've given him pieces, but not all. And I know there's some in here and you've been wholly dedicated. I'm just going to ask you to pray for the others. Some of you have held back this one little thing. I'm not giving him that. And some of you have not yielded to him your dream. Some of you have not yielded to him your ministry. Some of you not yielded to him your relationship with someone. And here's the good news. When you give it to him, I mean really give it to him, and you say, okay, if this means it, when you give it to him, here's what it looks like. You could take it away and I might never see it again, or you could turn it into something holy. But I'm going to trust that whatever you decide to do, God, it's going to be the best. And if you didn't have that for me, it's because you got something better. I remember I fell in love with a man, totally the wrong man to fall in love with. I was a kid, you know, 22 probably. And that, you know, the earth talks about this thing called love at first sight. And in an earthly way, I fell in love at first sight with this guy at work. And he was absolutely not in any way God's choice for me. Head over heels. And you know what the area was I wouldn't give to God? I wasn't going to give him that area. I didn't want him to pick the guy. I couldn't think of anything but that guy day and night. All I could think of was that guy. Idol. Knew it was not God's will, but couldn't let go of it. An idol will kill you. Idols will kill you. And we cannot even have our church cannot be an idol. Our kid, our business, nothing. We can't have any idols before him. Think about some of the very first commands. You shall have no other gods before me. Now, here's the thing. I would encourage you, download the Fortress set. If you're not familiar with this, it's a set called Building a Fortress That Will Last. It talks about how to build your life in such a way that Satan can never get in. Building walls around your city that he can never come through. And what God has really revealed is, you know, there's a false doctrine in Christianity that we say, well, if we disobey God, I might get struck with lightning. God doesn't do that. All the judgment that was due you and me went on Jesus Christ. But here's what does happen. If we, as holy people called of God, walk in Satan's kingdom, we get Satan's presence. We get his gifts, his curses. Because idolatry brings a curse and a snare. So sometimes we find a person, a woman came up to me at the altar and she said, I'm asking you to pray for my healing, and I wanted to. And I know with all my heart God wants her healed, because that's his nature. But the minute I stood there and opened my spirit to God, he said, fornication. I said, honey, are you living with somebody? She said, yes, I am. I said, listen, God wants you healed, and Jesus has already died to release your healing. But I'm going to tell you something. God is saying that you've opened a door. Sin and idolatry opens a door to the devil, and if you walk in his kingdom, you get his goods. God showed me a picture, and I'll try to do my best. Imagine that in this room we have a word picture. We have God's kingdom, and let's say that over here is God's kingdom, right? And we're born again. It says we're, hallelujah, I'm going to trip on the cords. We're translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. That means our spirit was completely uprooted from darkness and brought into this kingdom where there's light, healing, every blessing, every heavenly blessing, everything there is that Jesus paid for is ours here in God's kingdom. But here's the problem. Our flesh wasn't translated. Your born-again spirit was, but your mind wasn't. It says we have the mind of Christ, but you also have your own mind. Why else are you able to think crummy thoughts? Come on, you're not perfect in your thoughts yet, are you? I'm not yet. I might have a cranky thought, and then I have to say, oh, nope, we're not doing that, right? But I couldn't have that if my mind was only the mind of Christ. So what's he saying? In the spirit, you do have the mind of Christ. But your flesh was not translated, so that's why we have to be transformed. That's why we have to work out our salvation. Work out so that that holy thing in you is on top and your stinky flesh is brought under, right? Well, what happens? Some people, they're born again spirit. They get born again, but they continue to walk around over in this kingdom. And over here, there's every curse, every attack. Listen, if you give the devil permission, he'll clobber you. Now, I'm not saying that every attack comes because you did something wrong. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that we don't want to open any doors unnecessarily. God wants you free in every way. And the closer that you walk to the Father, the closer you come into him, not just in your spirit, man, but in your mind, your thoughts, your soul, your will, your emotions. Some of you need to subdue your will. There's a couple people in here, you have a very strong will. And you're one of those people that you forge ahead. Sure, you're right. And then you get in trouble, right? It's like me with that guy. Disaster. That was a disaster. And we forge ahead because we're so sure we're going the right way. And we'll even justify it by using scriptures. Come on. We'll push our way. I want my way. I'm going to do it my way. And then we'll justify it by finding some scripture that seems to kind of fit. And justify ourselves, because really, we don't want to hear what God has to say on the matter. Idolatry. Ooh, this is kind of hard. But I'm going to tell you what I've learned. If we can do some good soul inspection and ask the Lord, I ask the Lord almost every day, show me if there's anything I need to see. I walk free from almost all trials now because I've developed a habit of saying, is there something I need to correct? Now, there are times when Satan will still attack because you're godly, right? What does it say? Those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Bible promise. So some attacks just come because you are God's servant and you are doing what's right. Not every attack is because you did something wrong. So I don't in any way want you to go away thinking that that's what we believe, that everything is because you blew it. No. One thing I want you to know, though, when you're walking over here, it isn't God striking you with lightning. It's the devil because you're in his camp. Okay? So I said to this dear lady, and I knew God's love for her. He loved her. He wasn't mad at her. He wasn't yelling at her, and he wasn't striking her with lightning. He was saying, honey, get out of that camp, and you'll be healed automatically. I've already healed you. I've already provided for it, but I can't get to you because you're living in the devil's camp. I have a friend that's a powerful preacher. I mean, she's a great preacher, this lady. She carries, it's like a ball of fire. And when she was young in the Lord, she had come out of a very, she'd come out of a lot of drugs. She had a lot of drugs in her life. And she, you know, bought drugs from guys that were in the mob and stuff. And she knew those guys. And she said one day, she was actually working in Las Vegas in a casino. She'd never heard the name of Jesus except as a swear word. In her whole life. And so after she gets radically saved, she gets delivered from cocaine, heard the chains pop off of her. But she, for some reason, I forget what the reason was, she had to go to this place. It was a dark place like a bar. And when she walked in the door, she heard the demon saying, that's God's girl, let's get her. She's on our turf. You understand? There's some places it behooves us not to go at all. Just don't go there. There's some places I won't go. I'm in the city sometimes, and if I sense that there's just some streets don't go down, I don't go down them. And I save myself trouble. And people say, well, why did this happen? Well, where were you driving? Where were you walking? What were you involved in? God has nothing but good for you. I promise. God has nothing but blessings for you. But he can't get them to you. And here's something God told me about the prodigal son. He said, you'll notice that the father didn't leave the house and go into the pig barn. He loved him, and he wanted him home. He adored that kid. That kid was the apple of his eye. He was so happy when that kid came home. But he did not leave home and go into the pig filth and say, oh, come home, honey. No. He left him there to basically rot until the kid came to his senses. I have all these blessings for you. The robe, the shoes, the ring, the party, the calf. I got it all for you. But here it is, here, not there. You get it? And God is trying to raise up a people that, like they were at one time, are a people holy and wholly his. And not half and half, not nine-tenths. I was nine-tenths. I had this one area. And when that thing went down, it almost killed me. That area that I wouldn't give to God because I just thought I knew better. I was sure that if I gave him the area of men, he'd give me some geek that I wouldn't like. Put me in the hottest part of Africa. He tested me. He made me date this guy that was called to go translate Bibles where it's 122 degrees. This guy has one little solar thing. He's a good friend of mine, awesome guy. But I thank God didn't make me marry him. He asked me on a date, and he was real cute too, a real cute guy. And I went on the date thinking, please, Lord. He has got the perfect wife for him. Thank you, Jesus. They just sweat all day and they translate Bibles. And he's got this one little solar panel and it gives him one light bulb at night. And that's how they live. And I thought God was telling me to do it. And you know what I had to say? Yes, sir. If that's what you're going to make me do, then that's what I'm going to do. Yeah. So at the age of 26, I knew one thing. I had one revelation, but I had this revelation with every cell in my body. I mean, I really had a revelation. And if I could give you one thing, I'd give you this. Any area that you give to him holy, he will turn into a blessing. He will turn it into success. He will make it right. And it won't look like you thought it would. Usually better. And he'll usually make you walk through some stuff that doesn't make any sense while he's doing it. Because it's called trust. He wants a people who will look at him, gaze at him unflinchingly and say, I don't know what you're doing, I don't know why you're doing it, but I'm following you. I don't like what I just saw, but I know you're going to do something better. And as you get to know him, you'll come to know one thing about him. He always does what is right. He always says what is right. You know that God in the entire history of the universe has not one time ever been wrong. You know what the Bible says about him? All his judgments are correct. You can trust him with your life. You can trust him with everything you have, all that you are, your calling, your dream, your ministry. Even if he takes the knife and he kills that thing, because what he's really doing is saying, do you trust me? Will you give me everything? Or are we just going to play patty cakes? And at 26, when I got that revelation, I said, that is it. I am not running anything. I am not using my logic. for anything anymore. I don't care what I want. It doesn't matter what I want. Because obviously what I wanted was wrong for me. What I wanted almost killed me. Sometimes what we want is not what's best for us. But we have a Father who, He loves you more than you love you. Did you know that? God loves you more than you love yourself. And He wants what's right for you and what's best for you. But if you don't trust Him, you're going to try to run the show. And guess what? You'll come to the same conclusion, but it's going to be the long, hard way. God always used to say to me, now we can do this the easy way, or we can do this the hard way. Well, I've learned easy. You tell me what to do and how to do it, I will do it. Because I've learned, I like the blessings. I like to walk in the blessings of the Lord. I love the blessings of heaven. I love the promises. I love being able to go, hey, you said this, boop. Hey, I'll tack that, boop, that's mine, oh, that's mine, oh, that's mine. We have all these screwy ideas. Well, maybe He didn't call me to it. Listen, Jesus died for it. Are you a believer? It's yours. If it is a promise. And we need to begin to be bold in God and say, I will receive that. Somebody here, we'll talk about it tonight a little more, but somebody here received a healing. I mean, a miraculous healing just in the worship last night. I guess it was last night. It was a significant, major healing that I actually believe was creative. Just in the worship. Here's a scripture for you. All things are yours. Come on. All things are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Is it possible that we have walked at such a low level we haven't understood? Is it possible that God is leaning over and longing for somebody who will say, I'll take it? And I know I'm not worthy in myself, but you made me worthy. I know I'm not perfect, but you made me holy. I know I don't have it all together, but I'm yours. And because I'm yours, I can say, I'd like that that Jesus died for, and I'd like that. And I'd like that that Jesus died for. You see how simple it is? We've made God as though He were a respecter of persons. He is not. God has already released every single thing. It's already a done deal. And He's looking for somebody with the guts to say, pick me. When I was young and God was training me, I had this screwy false belief system that God only chose certain people to have the gifts. God said, no, I want all my kids. I love it when my kids operate in the gifts. He said, because the gifts of the Spirit, they glorify me. When you go out on the street and you operate accurately in any one of the gifts, people immediately want to know me. You give somebody an accurate word of knowledge or an accurate prophecy. I was in a coffee shop with my friend. We were in Ludington, Michigan. They had the best coffee ever. And we were there, and she's just one of these people. She just witnesses to everybody that moves, and she's kind of like a grandma. She just loves people. And here's this kid, and I knew he was kind of a New Ager, you know. And she says, you know, she starts talking about God, and he's kind of nicely putting up with us. You know, he wasn't really. She says, you know, my friend here has a gift to pray for people. And I'm thinking, thank you very much. The guy comes around the counter, and I turn, and I start to tell him, you know, about his life. And in his life, he had not been valued. He'd kind of been kicked around a little bit. And I gave him that same phrase, God doesn't make any junk. And God sees who you really are, not who you've been pretending to be. See, a gift of the Spirit, it's not about you. God wants all of His kids to operate freely in the gifts of the Spirit. In church, out of church, in season and out of season. Because any time that you operate in a gift with accuracy, it has to be really the Holy Ghost. Don't give me that fake stuff. Go after accuracy. Don't be content to just give words to people. Go after accuracy. Go after it. Seek the Lord to hear and see with accuracy. And if you find you're not as accurate as you want to be, go back and say, God, what do I need to do? I was standing with my pastor's daughter, and they were an awesome church, but they weren't really yet into the fullness of the gifts. My pastor's daughter now, I remember. You got to be careful what you say to the pastor's daughter. And so we're standing there, and I'm talking to her by the Spirit, and I said, "Who's John?" She goes, "I can't believe you're bringing up John." John was a guy she'd had a relationship with in college, and she was still being drawn. And she knew it wasn't God. See? God likes to mess with us, doesn't he? But for us to say, "Well, I believe Holly moves in it, but I can't," that is to call God a liar, isn't it? It's to say he's a respecter of persons. He is not. He said you won't have to go to your neighbor to find out what God is saying anymore. It's a new covenant. He said, "I'm going to write my law in your heart." What is that? The Holy Ghost. Who's the Holy Ghost? He's the one that knows everything about everybody. I was sitting in a meeting a couple of months ago, and I said, 18 years ago, this happened to you. You hear somebody go, right? Why? Because God wants them to know that he cares. I'm going to have you all say this. I receive the word of knowledge.
I receive the word of knowledge.
I receive the spirit of prophecy.
I receive the spirit of prophecy.
And I want to be accurate.
And I want to be accurate.
I only want what's from the Holy Ghost.
I only want what's from the Holy
Ghost. I don't care if I've seen of men.
I don't care if
I've seen of men. Brother Rich, I'm going to have you stand up. I'm going to have you release the working of miracles. Come on up. This couple, Rich and Chris, have spent years in the presence, and they understand the workings of heaven. Okay? And I was so happy when they signed up to come, because they're not ordinary. And you guys are carrying something. I'm going to have you come up too. I want to tell you something before we do this. I wasn't sure if we were doing this tonight or if we were doing this today, but I guess we're doing it now. And he's already releasing stuff. I saw a picture of you guys, and I know that you were here and then you got moved to Texas for a time. And I saw a very unusual picture. I saw that where you went, you were leaving behind these, they looked like robin eggs. They were eggs. And I saw that everywhere you went, you were leaving like the seed of God. And when you move on, it doesn't matter. I saw these things hatching and becoming a work of God because you've sought the Lord for the real thing. You were never satisfied with the counterfeit. You know, some people don't care. Some people don't have a pure heart, but you guys are like, "I don't want the counterfeit. I want the real thing." And you would go anywhere to get it, wouldn't you? Because you wanted the real Jesus. And you were tired of seeing the counterfeit stuff and people faking it. Amen and amen.
Amen.
But because they've stood true, and they've stood true in season, out of season, in favor, when, you know, people maybe knew it, people didn't know it, because they've done that, they are walking in something, and I'm believing they are going to release it. They've walked in miracles, they've walked in a lot of things, but I'm just asking you, just be led of the Lord as you release, and we are going to pull and we're going to receive.
Amen. Papa's not done with you, you're just beginning.
Amen.
Yeah. There's
Israel, sorry. But there's 12 tribes in Israel. And Papa's saying, find your tribe. Because in your tribe, you're gonna come alive. You're going to be fed, taught, and just bloom. So he's telling you, find your tribe, your people. Abraham was Abram before he left. When he left, he had to leave everything. His father, his country, his tribe at that time, and go on. So I see the calling of Abraham to leave now and find your tribe, because you're You're ready to bloom. You're ready to bust. With everything the Lord's been putting in all your life, and now's the time for it to come together, come intact, and you're going to start walking in the joy and the peace of the Lord. We were talking about Captain Coleman, I can't even remember, just recently. But in her last days, when people go to the airport and pick her up, she didn't even stop and pray. But she just walked down the aisles, and people would just get healed just by her walking by them. And that is how Papa wants you to spend your time on this world, just releasing, just oozing out. Yeah. You're just going to ooze and ease out. It's not going to be by striving and working. It's just going to be, you're going to find your tribe. They're going to feed you. They're going to teach you. They're just going to release you. You're going to be at this little flower pot in this pot, and they're just pouring everything into you, so you just bloom. Yeah, you're coming into season, and it's now. Okay.
So I had something more for you too. I've actually drew a picture back there for you. I didn't know Rick was going to do this, but I just felt like you sometimes feel like you're alone, and this is for other people in here too. Sometimes feel like you're an island, and nobody really understands who you are. But I just felt like I saw, and I drew it, like there are stars in the sky representing angels are with you. There is a cloud of witnesses behind you. There are saints that are here that are part of your tribe. And I felt like God has actually put you in the desert Grand Junction, a desert area. But it wasn't because you had to go through the desert. It's because the desert needed your beauty. And I, you know, I didn't coin that phrase. That comes from Ray Hughes, but that touched me so much in a time of my life when I felt that way. So, and that goes for a lot of us. Sometimes we're wondering, what is going on? Like, why am I going through this again? Or this transition is lasting too long. Or, you know, I just need some sustenance and water. And, you know, God knew that you were strong enough. And then he put you in the desert because it needed your beauty.
So I'm going to release something. I'm going to release it. It's from them. I saw a fireball. See, they have something, but they, for some unknown reason, God gives me has given me a gift to impart. But I saw a fireball. It has to do with miracles. And I'm releasing it. And I see it come out of his belly, but going, and I'm asking you to take it. Say, I'll take it. I'm taking my miracle or miracles, and I'm taking the working of miracles. It's easy in God. I'm going to have you say, I am the temple of God. I am the house of the Holy Spirit. All the power of God lives in me because heaven itself lives in me. And I'm going to stop living by the flesh, and I'm going to start living by the Spirit of God in me. And I'm going to get out of the way and let the Holy Ghost do whatever he jolly well pleases. Hallelujah. Just waiting to see if you got something.
Oh.
I've been seeing that since last night in his belly with this big old gold...
Boy, don't retire. Coming up here this weekend, Chris and I needed some pure mountain, fresh, crisp air. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, this is it. I see two dreams back there. That's just, yeah. Oh, man. they are a dream. I love it. I just love it.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
She said she wants to draw for me, but I'm telling you, I'm drinking at the bottom from her. Yeah. Papa, just I just see it says just as Jesus poured out a measure of grace for some to be apostles, poured out a measure of grace for some to be evangelists, preachers, teachers. He is pouring out grace today. You're going deeper and deeper and deeper and being called further and further and further.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, God. Jesus was full of grace. And I see it poured out into you, on you, being saturated. You're in a barrel and you're getting pickled. grace, and this grace is the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not the, you know, I don't deserve this, but God gives. This is the power of the Holy Spirit. This grace empowers you to do what you can't do on your own.
Amen.
yeah. Thank you, Papa. Yeah. Just. You're all beautiful. I'm
I saw a picture of somebody. I don't know if you're physically on the floor or not, but I saw a picture of a person on the floor, and you were undone, but your belly, it was like. The Holy Spirit was moving so strong on your belly. But it's not physical. It's a work of the Spirit. And you've had a tendency to have a part of an encounter and get up and kind of back off. But the Lord is saying, stay in. Because I'm doing a real transformation in your life. Mm-hmm. Stay in as long as you can. Stay in till you can't stand it anymore. Come in as often as you can, because I'm doing a great work of transformation. And you're going to carry something. You're going to carry a thing. And this thing that you're going to carry, I'm just seeing the person right now, you're like inside, you're just like, oh, you know, this seems like this is too much to carry, and your flesh wants to run. But God says, stay in. Because I'm doing a thing, I'm actually installing something in you. Installing something that will be carried to nations. And the Lord says, Janet, you are a revivalist. You are a revivalist. You are a revivalist. And I've sent you into the darkest places to carry light and to carry transformative power. So don't heed the voices of the earth. Don't listen to anything they have to say. Only listen to what I say to you, he says. Because I'm telling you, I've placed you in a place and I've planted your feet to do a work, and that fruit will remain. There will be people that you have touched in that dark place that years from now will be doing powerful works of God. And you go, wait a minute, didn't I meet you in the prison? Didn't I meet you in jail? Weren't you in jail? Didn't I minister to you once? And you will watch your own fruit. The Lord says the fruit of your womb. You will watch the fruit of your womb in the Spirit. You will watch them transform others. Because God has put something in you to carry. And there have been people that don't get it, and there have been people that don't like it. Too bad. Their loss. Their loss. Their loss. So you just keep carrying. And you keep doing, and you keep on, because God will meet every need that you have. God will. God will. Can't quit, because see, God, there's more undoneness. People are being undone. It's okay. Don't let your mask drop. You don't have to look good now. You can cry. You can make a mess of yourself. You can do anything you want to do. But God is imparting gifts. He's imparting callings. He's imparting. Remember the other day I told you about the mangers in heaven of children, babies, ministries, callings, dreams that have not been received into the earth? If that's you and you know that's you, just say, Lord, I'm going to receive. Lord, I'm going to receive that.
I'm going to receive that.
Give me my baby.
Give me my baby.
Give me my calling. Release unto me that call. Someone back here, you've known for a long time, but you have the call of evangelism on you. You have a call of evangelism on you. You have a call of evangelism. If you feel like you're called to evangelism more than one person, but this person, I want you to stand up because we're going to throw some fireballs at you. If you want evangelism, you stand up. There's somebody back there. Stand up. Stand up. Don't be a chicken. Somebody back there is being chicken. Stand up. Don't worry about what anybody thinks of you. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks. I'm seeing God throw these balls of fire. And this is specifically the ability to witness with power and by the works of the Spirit. You will not just witness, but you'll witness knowing things about people that nobody knows. You'll witness just knowing the words to say. You'll find yourself saying something and thinking, what a strange thing to say. And the person comes undone before you. And it's because you nailed them. We release it. Pull on it. It is yours. It's free. It's free. It's free. Some of you have not yet stepped into your position in the heavenlies. All over the room, step into your position. Step into your position. Stop apologizing for who you are or what people think about you. You are called with a mighty calling. Step into your position. God created you to do some stuff. And to do it, you're going to have to stand in a place in Him, in the heavens, without apology. And when you do that, you will release the glory. I release fire upon those that have something being burned out of them. You've asked God to take certain things out of you that you don't want. I see fire coming upon you. You'll actually feel fire and heat going through your bones. But what this is it's just burning some stuff out that you don't need anymore. And you've asked Him to take out, and it's leaving now. It's leaving now. It's leaving now. It's leaving now. I see God exposing false belief systems, lies you've believed that have hindered you. I see them popping, and you're going, wait a minute, that's not true. You're going to see with a great reality, I believed a lie. I'm not going to believe, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm not going to believe that anymore. I'm not going to believe that about myself anymore. Some of you are walking out of some junk. You're walking out of some old lies, old false belief systems. We release. I release you in the name of Jesus. I saw one person, your foot, it was like your foot was caught in a bear trap. And you've tried and tried and tried to move forward. No matter what you did, you couldn't move. And I command that release now in the name of Jesus. And I saw freedom and release. And you're free to move on. You're free to move on. You're free to move on now. Etoshi atahandoko. Otiesihake atohondime. Endo bahasata. Holy, I see the working of miracles. I see someone that kind of, you weren't sure when that got released. You were kind of like, is that me? Should I? And I see just even now that thing going into you. I see a person, you were afraid to receive it because of what you thought about yourself in the spirit. You've not thought, you know, it isn't about you. It's about Him. It's about Him and it's about them. It's not about you and it's not about me. It's about Him and it's about them. It's all about that. His righteousness moving through you because you're a house, a temple of the Holy Spirit. You were born to carry. So carry and deliver. Don't just stand and wish and hope and think all about yourself. It's not about you. You know, when you think all about you all the time, that's just wrong. It's not about us at all. It's not about our ability or our inability. If we could get out of the picture, it's about Him. And it's about them. And we're just supposed to deliver the goods. That's it. Some of you are going to deliver works of healing. Some of you are going to deliver the secrets. I'm telling you, I don't know what this means even, but I saw you delivering the secrets of the universe. There's someone in here, you're a ponderer. You sit with the Lord and He speaks through your ponderings. He speaks. And you write. I see you writing late at night, one lamp on. You're writing and writing and writing. You're a ponderer. But I see the secrets of God in that journal. And the day will come when you will stand and deliver those secrets unto the body, and it will help them. Heaven is released. What do you need? My sister, Rosalie came up before the meeting and she said, I saw a scepter. And the scepter was extended. Remember Esther? And she knew that to go before the king, if she didn't do it right and if he wasn't pleased, off with your head. But he extended the scepter because she had favor. What would you like, he was saying. Anything you want, whatever you need. And I feel like Rosalie hit it, that God is extending a scepter and saying, what is it you need? Stop looking at yourself, but look at me. Don't look at your ability, look at mine. Don't look at your inability, look at my ability. Don't look at your lack of righteousness, look at my holiness. My holiness is upon you. My holiness has come upon you to change you, to transform you, to make a new man, a new woman. You're going to walk away from stuff and you're never going to look back. Never. 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 Some of you are never going to be the same again. You're going to leave stuff on this mountain and we're going to sweep it away. And you're going home without some of that jazz. Some of you had messed up thinking. And you kind of knew it. You've had some problems in your thinking. God is healing that right now. He's healing minds and thoughts, thought cycles. Some of you have cyclical, almost like the cycle of bad thinking. And you know in your heart, I don't want that. I know it's not God. How do I get rid of it? And God says, you're rid of it. Gone. Out. Leave. No more. No more. He says, you will know truth in your inward man. What did he say? You will know truth, and the truth will make you free. God is releasing lots and lots of stuff. I'm seeing again those many, many, many chests, treasure chests of gold and jewels and diamonds. And each of this, it's not about earthly riches. It's about things that God is giving us. Some of us are receiving gifts. Some of us are receiving the gift of godly sorrow that leads to repentance. What a wonderful treasure. Some of us are receiving something deep in our soul that has no words. There ain't no words. And over the next 4 months, there's someone in here, over the next 4 months, there's things that are going to be revealed to you that you received here. You're going to start to walk and say, where did this come from? Oh yeah, I got it on the mountain. God met me. I didn't understand. I felt a little something. But what was it? Oh, this is what that, this is that. This is that, this is that. Some of you, you've been called with a holy calling and you've always known it. And try though you may, you've tried everything you knew. You've danced, you've sang, you've prayed, you've fasted, but you could never seem to break into the thing. But today, you let go of something. You let go. I saw your hand let go of some of the earthly things. I saw your hand let go and say, I'm going to quit trying to manage this. And when your hand let go, it was now open. And I saw you step, it looked like through a veil kind of. And you stepped into this new place. And you were able like, oh, this is where I am. This is the calling I was born to do. I'm going to do what I was born to do. I'm going to do what I was made to do. And it's going to be a blast. There is nothing that makes you more happy than when you finally find the thing you were born to do. It's just, there's just nothing more fun, nothing more joyful than when you step into the very thing. Some of you are going to encounter heaven for the first time in your lives. You're going to be allowed to walk the corridors. Some of you are going to encounter God in places you never thought existed. Heaven is vast. Heaven is a vast place. Some of you have been crying out to God and you just don't know how to go into the Spirit. But some of you are going to find God catching you up and showing you to teach you. It's not so you can have a goosebump. I love goosebumps. I love them. I do love goosebumps. But when God gives you an encounter, it's to change you, to increase you, to impart to you that you can carry a thing. Some of you are going to carry pieces of heaven. You're going to carry heaven. You're going to carry something that you find. You don't get this stuff in the earth. You don't get this in the earth realm. You can dance as hard as you want. You don't get this in the earth realm. You got to go. And some of you just need to let him You need to allow God to take you to places you've never gone. And don't let your mind talk you out of it. Don't let your doctrine rule the day. Because, you know, a lot of times we don't really understand the Bible until we've seen in the Spirit. And then God shows us Scripture and goes, oh, that's what you meant. That's a real Bible study. Hallelujah. And God's going to show us some things. I believe some of us here, I heard the words breaking the barrier. And then I heard the words breaking the mind barrier. Some of you have been held captive by your own mind. You were, and listen, I went through this. You're raised up in a place where you were so bound by your thoughts that you were afraid to allow God to really move. And I understand, because there's a lot of weirdness out there, and we don't want weird. We don't want counterfeit. I'm not interested. I'm not interested in being weird or acting weird or seeing weird. But I am interested in the whole of what heaven is. And some of you, I'm sensing several of you in the back over here, God has ordained that you're going to have some times and seasons where you're not around people, but you're in Him. You're not around people, but you're in Him, taken into places and shown things. It'll be different than the things I've seen, because it'll have to do with who you are. It'll have to do with your calling. And I saw that when you go, you don't just go and see and learn. You go and you partake, you imbibe, you eat. Right? When you go to heaven, sometimes you imbibe and you eat, you drink and you eat the things of heaven, and then you carry the thing. You understand? I know I'm out there, but you guys are pretty... You can handle it. I've had seasons in the Spirit where angels would come and bring me a spoon with food on it. Food from heaven. Jesus said, I have meat to eat that you know not of. They were trying to make Him eat earthly food. But He said, I got meat you don't know anything about. And He's saying, come and dine. Come and eat at my hand. Come and sup at the table. I've laid a banquet table for you. Come and eat. Come and enjoy. Come and be changed in the presence of the King. Come and be changed in the presence of the King. Come and be changed in the presence of the King. There's someone here, you've had, I believe it's a tumor. If you have been diagnosed with a tumor, anywhere in your body, stand up. If you have a tumor anywhere in your body, I want you to stand up. Who is that? It might have been called cysts. It might have been called nodes. I'm seeing this dissolve now. I'm seeing something dissolve. I'm seeing a lump, a bump, a cyst, a tumor. It's dissolving. It seems like this thing has pressed. It's pressed where it shouldn't be pressing, and it's caused some issues, even nerve issues that shoot through the body. It's like related to neurology, but this thing has pressed on some nerves. It's caused pain, and it's caused a little bit of dysfunction, and God is erasing, dissolving. And He said, this is the end of the matter. This is the end of nerve problems, He said. I'm seeing foot problems healed. I'm seeing immune deficiency healed. I'm seeing autoimmune, thank you, Lord. Autoimmune issues, I don't have the right language, but autoimmune issues are being healed. I'm seeing a reversal, reverse. I'm seeing the heat of God, the heat going through areas of the body that I don't understand, but I'm seeing the heat go through these areas of the body and just, you know, just bringing order where there was disorder, bringing healing. I'm seeing fire, 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 fire. I saw somebody, I don't know what the cause is, but on your left side, in the like the side, not your stomach, but to the side of where your stomach is, on the left, you've had an issue and it has caused cramping, it has caused difficulty, it has caused pain. You've questioned if it's liver, maybe you thought it was liver, maybe you've even been diagnosed. God says, healed. Healed. healed, reversed completely. I saw arthritis. I saw, I don't know much about the body, but I saw arthritis, and I saw it had some buildup on bones, and it's caused a lot of dysfunction. And we command every form of arthritis, bursitis, or rheumatism to go. I command any spirit of arthritis, bursitis, or rheumatism to go in the name of Jesus. And I command a full release from pain. I command gout to go. Gout is a liar. I command any deficiency to become sufficiency. There's someone in here, I just have to go with God. It's like you've been the person that always felt like, what is wrong with me? I feel like you remember the old cartoon where there's one guy and he always had a black cloud wherever he went, nobody else had it? And there's someone in here, you kind of felt like that guy, like, no matter what I do, feels like I've got this, what, you know, what? And I don't know what this means, but the Lord said there was a ruling spirit and it came from generationally, okay? And the Lord says, I am releasing you. I am releasing you. I am releasing you from any ruling spirit that was over your family. He said, you have maintained a pure heart. You have maintained a pure heart. I am putting a stop to that today. I'm putting a stop to it. I declare an openness over you. Some of you have asked for an open heaven. What you may not understand is heaven has been open since Acts 2. In the old covenant, we said, oh, rend the heavens. He did. He has never shut the heavens again. He never shut the door. He never did. It was open forever. And what we have not understood is the heaven is open to us every day, every night, for the rest of eternity. It's up to us what we will receive and what we will walk in and where we will go. It's up to us. If I had a 10,000-acre ranch and I said to you, anytime you're my friend and anytime you want, you can come on my ranch, you can ride horses and you can hunt and you can do whatever you want on my ranch, you can come on the ranch. If you don't come, that is your problem. And I'm going to say to you, heaven is open to all God's children. Heaven is open. Stop talking like it's closed. It's not closed. Stop acting like your town is exempt from an open heaven. It is not. Are you there? Are you living there? I don't care if you're the only believer there. Heaven is open. Now you may have to shift things a little. You may have to do a little bit of shifting, but it's open to you. So don't tell me my town is just all dry spiritually. Well, if you're there, no, it isn't. Have you not heard? You're a well of living water. Rivers of living water will flow out of your belly. The problem with us is we have not known truth. And we have believed all the lies that the enemy has sown into the church for 2,000 years. And we say no more. No more. If the Bible says it, it's so. If the Bible says it, I'm going to produce it. If the Bible says it's open, I'm going to be the one. I'm going to have you say, I'm the one God's going to use. I'm going to obey Him. I'm going to walk in Him. I'm going to seek Him until I'm so full of truth that wherever I go, God is manifest. Heaven is manifest. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit, a very channel for God to deliver the goods through. That's who I am. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.